John chapter 20, verse number 29, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And the title of the message this morning is, what's your level of faith? And in John chapter number 20, we'll talk about it, but it kind of reveals the different levels that faith that different people had. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at why we need faith and why it's so important we in our Christian life need faith. And then as a lost person, why you need faith to be saved today. So we'll talk about that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege to come to church. I pray you'd help me as I preach, Lord, calm my nerves. Help me to say the right things, what needs to be said. I pray that I could speak clearly and that that people can understand. And I pray you convict hearts, Lord. No matter how I preach, Lord, I pray that you would take over and that you would work on Christians, Lord, when it comes to our level of faith and where we sit in our Christian life. But then also, Lord, I believe that there's some people here, maybe a teenager or maybe an adult, that is not saved. They don't know they're going to heaven when they die. They don't have that peace. Maybe they doubt it, or maybe they know that they're not going to heaven. Lord, I pray that you convict their hearts this morning, and please help them today, Lord, to ask you to be their Savior so they can go to heaven, Lord, one day when they die. I pray you do work in our hearts and to help us to listen, Lord, and to pay attention and forget about the distractions of the world, but to be able to listen this morning. Help preacher as he preaches as well. Use him in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in John chapter 20, what has just happened is Jesus had just risen from the dead. But back up 3 days before that, the disciples witnessed something that was very that was seemingly tragic, and it was tragic. But we know that Jesus Christ died for sinners. It was a good thing. But they saw that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, they saw that he was horrendously crucified, and his body was mutilated, and they hung him on the cross, and he died, and they just witnessed this thing happening, and his body has been sitting in the grave at this point for 3 days, or it was in the grave, but they didn't know. The thing is that the disciples, even though they walked with Jesus, and even though Jesus specifically told them that he was going to die and rise again, they didn't understand. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 30, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples and said unto them. So Jesus is telling his disciples. He says, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise again the third day. So Jesus says, hey, I'm here, and there's going to be men that's going to kill me. And the Bible talks about that he laid his life down, and Jesus could have stopped him, but he allowed these men to kill him. But then he says, but the third day I'm going to rise again. But then the next verse says, but they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they didn't understand that even though Jesus told them, hey, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again from the dead, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. In Matthew chapter 16, it talks about how I believe it's in Luke, but it says that these sayings were hid from them. And even though God told them, even though Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen, they just didn't quite get it. They didn't quite understand. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So Jesus, he even goes into detail of exactly what's going to happen. He says, hey, I'm going to be led away. He says, I'm going to be mocked. And he says that people are going to make fun of me, and people are going to mock because I say that I'm the Son of God, and I say that I'm the King of the Jews, and he was. But he said that people are going to mock me. And he says that I'm going to be scourged. And that was something that was that whip when they would whip Christ and it would tear his flesh off. And Jesus said, I will be scourged. He's giving them details of what's going to happen. And then he says, I will be crucified. But then he says, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And it says in verse number 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he tells the disciples, hey, I'm here on this earth. I was born to die, as that song talks about. He was born to die on Calvary. And he tells his disciples. But the Bible says that these things were hid from them. In Luke chapter number 9, in verse 44, Jesus said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And he tells them, hey, I'm going to be delivered to the hands of men. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. But I will rise again. But in verse 45, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. So Jesus tells them what's going to happen. He says, hey, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be scourged. They're going to kill me, but I will rise again. But the disciples, they didn't understand. And the Bible says that those things were hid from him. I'm not really sure why, but maybe because God wanted to test their faith that day. So imagine the disciples, even though they were told that Jesus was going to die, they knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And they knew that he was, that there's nothing impossible with God. They knew that he could do anything. But imagine, they didn't know that Jesus was going to die. They basically, it's as if Jesus never told them because it was hid from them. They didn't know. They didn't understand. So when Jesus dies, it catches all of them off guard. Imagine being with Jesus Christ and seeing him perform all the miracles that he performed and see him testify of himself that he is the Son of God and how they believed Jesus Christ and they were saved and they saw many others be saved and they saw people who were sick and people who were blind, people who were deaf. They saw Jesus Christ heal them. They saw Jesus Christ raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, they saw Jesus perform mighty miracles. But then all of a sudden, they see Jesus Christ be taken, and he was wrongly tried and wrongly accused, and they were trying to find a reason to crucify him, and the only thing that they could find is the fact that he claimed to be the King of the Jews, and the Jews didn't like that, and they wanted to crucify him, and Pilate didn't want to do it. You know, remember he said, I find no fault in this man, but they kept saying, hey, crucify him, crucify him. And so he said, you know, okay, fine, you do whatever y'all want to do to Jesus Christ, and I don't want anything to do with it. And Pilate allows them to crucify Christ. So they take him, they scourge Jesus Christ, and they mutilate his body. The Bible gives a lot of detail in Psalms. I think it's chapter 25. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it talks about what Jesus Christ went through and how he could see all of his bones and how all of his bones were out of joint and how he thirsted greatly. And the Bible talks about how he hung on the cross for 6 hours and suffered and the disciples, they watched it all from a distance. Remember, they didn't, there were some of them that were close, but some watched from a distance. But the Savior of the world, the one that they believed was come to give them eternal life, all of a sudden he was crucified and he's dead. And they must be heartbroken. They must be confused. They must be wondering, what in the world? I thought this was the Savior. I thought he was the Messiah. But now that he's crucified, now he's dead. And now we got to bury him. He's in the tomb. And their world was completely shaken. And they had no idea what was going on. And so just imagine, just put yourself in that place. You see Jesus Christ and you see him perform the miracles. And you think, man, we have hope of eternal life because of Jesus Christ. But then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is crucified. And they didn't know why. They didn't know why. They didn't realize that's why he came to this earth. That those things were hid from them. And so they were confused. So just imagine the emotions that day, the fear, imagine the heartache, imagine possibly even the disappointment. Some of them may have been disappointed thinking, I thought this was the Messiah. I thought he was come here to save, but now he's dead. And just imagine what was going on in their heads that day. But then Sunday morning came, 3 days later, 3 nights later, Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And all of a sudden, word quickly got out that Jesus Christ was no longer in the tomb. And some of them thought that he was stolen. They thought that someone took him. Some of them believed as soon as they saw that Jesus Christ was not in the tomb. Even though, look at it. Look in our text in John chapter number 20, and we'll go back to this later towards the end of the message. But let's look at it now in John chapter number 20. So this is John in verse number 8. John goes into the tomb to see, is Jesus really gone? And then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. And then, so he, as soon as he saw that Jesus was alive, he believed. And he believed that Jesus was alive. In verse 9 it says, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So he had no idea that Jesus was supposed to rise. He had no idea that this was prophesied throughout scripture that Jesus was going to rise again. John didn't know that. Those things were hidden from him. But yet, even though he saw, as soon as he saw the tomb, he saw Jesus was gone. He believed. There are some people that believed. And there are some people that refused to believe. And Thomas refused to believe. He said, unless I see Jesus Christ and put my fingers in the nail prints of his hands and put my hand through the side where they stabbed Jesus after he died, unless I can do that, I refuse to believe. He refused to believe. And there was different levels of faith that day. There was people who had great faith. There was people who didn't have much faith at all. And in our text, Jesus challenges Thomas and every Christian of every age to have a high level of faith. And look again in John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20 and verse number 27. The Bible says, "Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that's us. We haven't seen Christ, but we know based on the Word of God that Jesus did come to this earth and die for our sins, and He did rise again from the dead. And if we choose to trust Christ, He will save us. And God wants us to have faith. He wants us to learn to trust Him, not just only for salvation, but for life. He wants us, He says, and we know that faith is our evidence. Faith it says in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And the reason we can live our Christian life without ever seeing Christ is because of faith. And it'll be our evidence. We'll know that Jesus Christ is who He says He is because we have faith in Him and we trust Him. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to live by faith. And in our Christian life, it all started in faith and is supposed to continue in faith until our faith becomes sight in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Hey, listen, again, our Christian life started because of the faith that we chose to put in Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, it's because you chose to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You chose to trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, knowing in Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." And Jesus Christ will give you the faith to believe. It's just a matter of, are we going to be willing to put that faith in Jesus Christ? Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And God says, hey, we'll never work our way to heaven. We'll never earn heaven. No matter how much of the law, no matter how much of the Word of God we try to keep, no matter how much of the Word of God we try to follow, God says no flesh will ever be justified by the works of the law. The only way we can be justified, the only way our sins can be washed away, the only way our sins can be cared for is through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if we're willing to put our faith in Jesus Christ, He will justify us. And we need to be justified because God says that we're all sinners. God says that we've all done something wrong in the eyes of God. We've all disobeyed God's word from the moment we were born and throughout life. We're born sinners, but then we've chosen to do sin. We've chosen to commit the wrong. We've chosen to, even though we had the choice of doing right and we had the choice of doing wrong, all of us have chosen the wrong thing before and have committed sin. And the Bible says that our heart is full of sin. Our heart is desperately wicked. We're sinners, and that's why we need to be justified. God says, because of our sins, We have to pay that price, which is hell. He says, for the wages of sin is death. And he says that hell and the lake of fire, he says the lake of fire is the second death. And God says that we as sinners, without Christ, the only thing that we have after this life is hell. Because that's the only way a sinner can pay for their sins. And sin must be paid for. But that's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And God says, hey, I died for you. I endured the cross for you. I suffered on the cross and I rose again from the dead. And I need you to put your trust and your faith in me, and I will save you. And I'm sure all of us, those of us who are saved, we've talked to somebody before, and we ask them, hey, do you know you're going to heaven? And they may say, yes, I do. But then maybe you ask them, okay, why are you going to heaven? They say, well, I read my Bible. I'm a pretty good person. Well, you know, I go to church, and I talked to someone not too long ago that thought that they had to work to go to heaven, and they thought because of some of the good things that they were doing that they were going to go to heaven. But that is far from the truth. And God says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And He says, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God says we can never work our way to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. He wants us to put our faith in Him. If you're lost today, God wants you to put your faith in Him. And for those of us who have been saved, God says that the just shall live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. And our faith doesn't just end when we get saved. We still have to continue to trust God. God says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find how it says the just shall live by his faith. And we have to live by faith. And to live by faith is to subsist by faith. It's to be maintained in the Christian life by faith. It means that we're able to continue to live for the Lord and to live a Christian life through our faith. Our faith is what will get us through. Our faith is what will allow us to continue to live for Christ and to do what He wants us to do for Him. Every act in the Christian life is by faith. And we obey this word of God, but we never seen the God who wrote the book, but we have faith that God wrote every word and preserved every word for us, and we believe by faith that we're supposed to live by every word, and we're supposed to do our best to abide by every word of God. And so every act of the Christian life is by faith, because we haven't seen God, we haven't seen heaven, but we know it's real because of what God said. And someone who refuses to have faith and refuses to trust Christ, refuses to believe the word of God, they can't be helped, because it's all a matter of faith. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to trust what He said to do. And faith in our Christian life is important. We need faith in our life. So let's quickly, I'm going to give, quickly, let's give some reasons from the Bible why we need faith. And then we're going to talk about those levels of faith that we see in John chapter number 20. Why in our Christian life do we need faith? We need faith, number one, to stand. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. God says that if we as a Christian want to stand, we have to have faith to stand. We can't stand without faith. We can't stand in this Christian life, and we can't take a stand for Christ without faith. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, look at verse number 23. This is what God says. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that ye have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. And then Paul says, through the inspiration of God, for by faith ye stand. And listen, the word stand is to be in a state of fixedness. It means to continue. It means to endure. And listen, God wants us to stand. He wants us to continue. He wants us to endure in our Christian life and not just easily give up because life gets a little tough. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done done all to stand. And we need to stand and be fixed in our Christian life. And we should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And listen, a tree isn't easily moved. You're not going to go to a tree and push it over, because a tree has deep roots. And we got to have deep roots in the things of God. And we got to have deep roots of faith in God if we're going to stand. God wants us to endure. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God says, hey, I want you to endure. And when life gets hard, as you're doing your best to live for God, don't give up. Endure through those times. God wants us to continue. He doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us to give up. But we're not going to continue in this life without faith. We have to have faith to continue. We have to have faith to stand. In Acts chapter number 14, God says in verse number 21, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And God wants us to continue in the faith. He doesn't want us to quit. And Paul, we know that Paul endured much tribulation. And Paul said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. He says long-suffering, charity, patience. He says persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And listen, Paul had to have faith to endure those persecutions and to endure those tribulations. And Paul was able to stand. He was able to endure because of his faith that he had in God. And he talks about that in that list. He talks about that he had faith. And hey, listen, when someone in our family is deathly sick, we need to have faith and endure by faith and not be shaken and not quit on God because life gets hard. We have to trust God, and it's not easy to do so, especially when life is really tough. But God will give us the faith that we need. We need to ask Him for it. When we're laid off at our job, we got to endure by faith and not give up on the Lord. If our car breaks down, continue living for God by faith and trust that He'll provide. If there's family drama going on, we'll continue by faith and trust God to work that out. If you have a ministry that you're working hard at, but it just doesn't seem to grow, well, listen, continue and endure by faith and keep going. Go through, if you're going through a spiritual dry spell in your life and it seems like you don't really seem like God's speaking to you much, well, just endure by faith and keep asking God to speak to you, and He will. Everyone, if it seems like everyone is against us, if that's the case, endure by faith and God will help you. If you think that no one but God knows your struggle and God's the only one that knows, hey, He's the only one that needs to know, and we need to endure by faith. If your marriage is going south, and continue and endure by faith and trust God. If there's complications during a pregnancy, hey, endure by faith and God will get you through that. And we can endure these things. We can't endure these things without faith. And Satan will try to get us to quit. We have to have faith in order to continue to stand and to live for God. Why do we need faith? Why is faith in our Christian life so important? We need faith, number one, to stand. Number two, we need faith to walk. If we're going to walk in our Christian life for the Lord, and we're going to live for Him and walk with Him, we're going to have faith. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And listen, if we're going to, throughout this Christian life, it's not about what we can see. It's about trusting in God. And God says, I'll provide all your needs. But we don't see Him. We don't see what He's going to do. When He does it, we see it. But we got to have faith and look to the future and say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know God's going to provide my needs. And if we're going to continue to walk in our Christian life and live for God and walk with Him, we have to have faith. And we don't physically walk with God, but we walk with Him by faith. And we know when we pray, we know that He's not going to physically be there to hear us, but we know by faith that He hears us. God says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We know that God hears us. But listen, If we don't have faith and we try to walk with God and we try to get in His Word, we try to pray, it's going to be pretty hard when we don't even trust that God's going to hear us. When we don't even believe that God's going to answer. We got to have faith. We got to seek the Lord by faith. And faithless prayer is like talking to a wall. We must have faith to walk with God in prayer. We must have faith to read our Bible and trust that God's going to work in our heart and will help us. The Word of God in Psalms, we read how God's Word does much for a Christian. It will bring us joy. It will help us, give us strength. But we have to have faith in those things. We have to believe that God's Word is going to do what it says it'll do in our lives. We have to trust the Lord. We must have faith to walk in God's will. If God reveals His will to you and you know that God wants you to do this or to do that, if God calls you to preach and you know that's what God wants you to do, that takes faith to step out and do that. You have to trust that this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to follow Him. And listen, we got to have faith to realize that nothing happens by chance, but God's in complete control. The Bible says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And the lot is cast to the lap, and that's something that when you cast lots, you're trying to see what's going to happen. You know, who's going to become lucky, who's going to become unlucky, and we'll just give this over to chance. But the thing is, there's no such thing as chance, because the Bible says that the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Disposing, that's the act of arranging. So the way it's arranged, the way it takes place, it's all of God, and He's in full control, and we can trust that even though it seems like I don't understand what's going on in my life, I can have faith in God. I can continue to walk with Him and to live for Him, because I know that He's going to take care of my needs and that the whole disposing is of the Lord. And God's going to work it out. I don't have to worry about what's going to take place by chance, because I know that God's in control. But that takes faith to have that confidence. We have to trust God. We need faith to stand. We must have faith to walk. And listen, number three, we need to have faith to fight and to war in this Christian life. And the Christian life is a real spiritual battle. The Bible says that there's spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan's really out there to attack us and to destroy our lives. And our flesh wants to attack us and destroy our lives. The world wants to attack us and destroy our lives and destroy Christianity. And so there's a real battle going on for righteousness. And we need faith in order to fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, this is what the Bible says. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And God wants us to war a good warfare. He wants us to be successful in this battle over sin. But then He says the very next thing, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. We got to hold faith, and we got to make sure we keep faith in God so we can have victory over the battles in our life. And listen, it's a battle out there in our Christian life, and we must have faith to see that our flesh will ruin our lives, and we must have faith to see that all people have souls headed for heaven or for hell. We have to have faith to see that and to fight for the souls of men. We must have faith to see that Satan wants to destroy us and destroy our family and wants us to fall into sin, into wickedness, and to ruin our lives and not live for God. We must have faith to see that the spiritual darkness in this world is out to destroy us. We must have the faith to see that Jesus is the light for this grossly dark world. We must have the faith to see that Satan and the world are after us. We must have the faith to see that the awful consequence of sin on earth for the Christian. And sin has consequences, and we have to have faith and realize that, hey, I believe that if I live a life of sin, that the way of transgressions is hard. And we have to have faith to fight against sin, against our flesh, and against the devil. The Christian battle is a spiritual battle and requires faith. It's not a physical battle. And the Bible says, and that's why God said in Ephesians chapter 6, when He says, put on the whole armor of God, that way you can stand. He says, above all, the most important thing that you should have, He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have to have faith in order to fight in this Christian life. Why do we need faith? Why is it so important in our life? We need it to stand in our Christian life. We need it to walk in our Christian life. We need it in order to fight in our Christian life. And then the fourth thing, we need it to overcome and have the victory in our Christian life. Yes, we need faith to fight this war, but we also need faith that God will give us the victory. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, God says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And if we have faith in God, we can overcome this world and the sin in this world, and we can live a victorious Christian life, and we can live a righteous life, and we can live for God. We can tell folks about Christ, but only if we have faith. And when the battle, we might choose to fight, but then if the battle gets a little hot, then we're tempted to quit. But listen, when the battle of temptation gets hot and you're heavily tempted, have faith in God to help you overcome and to have victory over that temptation. When the battle for souls on the bus route gets hot and you're tired of working on the bus route and trying to reach kids for Christ and reach teenagers for Christ and reach adults for Christ, hey, when that gets hard and the devil attacks and tries to discourage you, and the devil attacks and tries to get you to think that you're not making a difference, have faith that God will give you the victory and will continue to give you the victory and seeing great things happen in the bus ministry. If the battle for your Sunday school class gets a little hot and you're a little discouraged because you're trying to help the kids to learn, or you're trying to help your adults in your Sunday school class to learn, but you're having a hard time with it, or you're trying to get someone to be faithful and they're not faithful, and it gets discouraging and it gets hard, but don't quit. Have faith that God will bless, and have faith that God will give you the victory in your Sunday school class. At the battle to raise your kids right in this wicked world gets a little hot, have faith that God will give you the victory and will help you raise kids that will want to live for the Lord. If your battle for a godly marriage gets hot and it seems to and it gets hard, have faith that God will help you have that victory to have the marriage that He wants you to have. If the battle to keep a godly testimony gets hot and it's easy to just give in and ruin your testimony and ruin my testimony because people make us mad or because people upset us. Well, listen, when that battle gets a little hot and it gets hard, have faith that God, and ask God, "Lord, help me to not ruin my testimony for You." And anytime when the battle to pray until you see the answer come gets hot, have faith and keep praying and trust God that He will answer. Listen, when our battles get hot and our battles get hard and we're tired and we're worn out and we're wounded and we're sick and tired and we're hurt, we got to have faith in God to help us overcome and to give us the strength to continue. Hey, in our Christian life, it's very important that we have faith, and it's very important that we have a high level of faith. We need faith in order to stand. So real quickly, what were some levels of faith that day? We know that faith is important in our lives. So in John chapter number 20, what are some different levels of faith that we can see that in our life we might fall in one of these categories? So let's look at John chapter 20 real quick. We'll look at, there's three levels that we'll look at real quick that I believe we can see in John chapter 20. So Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. All of a sudden it goes from complete disappointment to utter excitement because Christ has risen from the dead. And so what are some levels of faith that we see that day? Number one, there's those who are faithless. They had no faith. In John chapter number 20, this was Thomas. In verse number 24, this is what Thomas said. So people, Thomas wasn't there. Jesus appears to the disciples. They see Him, but Thomas wasn't there. So the disciples go to Thomas and says, "Hey, we've seen Christ. We've seen the Lord. He's alive." But look what Thomas says in verse number 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples there, wherefore, said unto Him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But He said unto them, 'Except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe.'" You know what? And then Jesus says, He says, "Thomas, don't be faithless." Thomas was faithless. He refused to believe that Jesus was alive, and his level of faith was that of no faith at all. And are we at that level in our Christian life where we're faithless and we refuse to trust God with our circumstances, and unless Until we see God's exact plan, we say, I'm not going to live for God because I just don't see how it's going to work out. And we refuse to believe and trust God and step out by faith and live for Him and to wholly dedicate our life to the Lord. Is it because we're faithless? Is it because we refuse to believe unless we see exactly how it's going to work out? But God's not going to show us exactly how it's going to work out. We just have to step out by faith. And as we walk by faith, God will show us how He's going to work it out over time. And we'll see, looking back, we'll see how God worked it all out for His honor and for His glory. Don't be faithless and refuse to do anything for God unless we can clearly see it. Don't be like Thomas, who says, unless I see Him, unless I can put my fingers in His hands, I will not believe. Let's not be that way. Let's not be faithless. What was another level of faith? There was those who were faithless, but then also there was those who had little faith. They had faith, but their faith was little. And look at John chapter number 20 and verse number 11. So Mary comes to the tomb. She's the one that first discovers the fact that Jesus is gone. And she thinks that Jesus was stolen. She didn't have enough faith to like John did, to believe that, okay, well, maybe Jesus arose from the dead. I don't know. But her first reaction was someone stole Christ. And she had little faith, and she didn't refuse to believe. If someone told her that Jesus was alive, someone that she knew, she probably would have had faith. She probably would have believed, but she had no idea what was going on. In John chapter 20, verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulcher and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So there's angels there, and she sees those angels, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. And certainly Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ, but she had no idea what was going on. She thought someone truly stole the body of Christ. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus was hiding it from her. In verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, sir, if thou have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And she realized that, hey, this is Jesus Christ standing right here. He's alive. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And that day, Mary, her faith wasn't great. She had faith, but it was little. And it wasn't until she kind of saw how God was. It wasn't until she saw Christ and saw that He was alive that she realized, wait, God's alive, and He is risen from the dead. And there was an instance in the disciples when God called them out for their little faith, the little faith that they had whenever that storm arose on the Sea of Galilee. They're freaking out. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 23. And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But talking about Jesus, He was asleep, and Jesus wasn't worried about it. He knew that He controlled the winds and the waves. He knew that nothing was going to happen. But in verse 25, and His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto him, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And listen, they had enough faith to at least turn to God for their problems, for their issues. But even though they went to God, they still worried. They still doubted. They still feared. And many of us, we might go to God for our issues and for our problems, but the whole time, until we see God move, we worry about it, and we fret about it, and we wonder what's going to happen. And that's how I am a lot of the times. That's how all of us are. Many of the times we have faith in God, but our faith is little. And we even though we went to God about our problems, we still panic. And that's a little faith. That's a level that is little. A level of faith that's little. And we see that in John chapter 20, how Mary had little faith. But then we see that there's someone who had great faith that day. And look at it in John chapter 20. So there's those who are faithless, number one. Number two, those who had little faith. But then there's number three, there's those who had great faith. In John chapter 20, Look at verse number 3. Peter, therefore, they heard from Mary. Peter and John heard that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. So they're running to see what was going on. Peter, therefore, went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So John was just standing there, but he didn't walk to the tomb. He sees that Jesus isn't there. In verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. That was John. Peter went in, and then John went in, and he saw. And even though he didn't knew that the scripture said that Jesus was going to rise again, but he had enough faith to know that with God, nothing's impossible. He had enough faith to know that God can do anything, and if he wanted to rise from the dead, he very well could have. And he had faith. He believed. He had great faith. He didn't have to see it. No one had to tell him. He just knew that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And God, can we trust Christ with any situation, even when we have no clue as to how God is going to do it? And that's what it is to have great faith. We just simply trust the Lord. And there was a man who came to Christ in Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read it real quick. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, begging him. And this centurion had a servant who was sick. And he says, Lord, would you heal my servant? And Jesus, in verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Jesus says, okay, show me where you live. I'll come. I will heal him. And Jesus was a personal God. He wasn't afraid to go to people and to be close to people. But in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come to my house. If you could just say it, if you could just right here, right where we're at, let's say his house was 2 miles down the road. If that were the case, this centurion believed that Jesus never met the servant. He didn't see the servant. He didn't know what the servant was sick with. But the centurion knew that Jesus was God and that he could do anything. And he had the faith to believe that, Lord, if you just speak it, then I'm going to walk those 2 miles home believing that you healed that servant. And I could imagine, you know, if the centurion walked home and left Jesus after Jesus said, hey, I'll heal your servant. You know, what if that servant couldn't find Jesus again if the servant wasn't healed? I mean, that centurion had great faith believing that, I know I don't have to worry about trying to find Jesus again, because I know if he speaks the word, my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard it, in verse number 10, look, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Jesus was amazed, and he said to them that followed. Imagine Jesus being amazed at something. He marveled. He says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, look at verse number 12, I'm sorry, verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. And the centurion had such great faith. He didn't have to see what Jesus was going to do. He just took God's word for it. And listen, the centurion believed. He knew Jesus said it, then that's what's going to happen. And listen, Jesus said it. He said it in his word. And we can trust and believe and know that it's going to happen. What an amazing day it was when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And John that day had great faith. And he didn't even have scripture to back it up. He couldn't go to Peter and say, hey, Jesus is alive. Look what it says here. It says that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. He didn't have that. And even though he was told, he didn't know. It was hidden from him. But one thing he did know is that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And he knew that God could rise from the dead if he wanted to. And imagine the roller coaster of emotions that day. The disappointment of Christ's death, and then the strange and overwhelming joy of Christ's resurrection. And that day was a day of great victory. And there would be no hope of being saved from our sins if it wasn't for Christ rising from the dead. But That day pointed out some levels of faith that people had. There was those who were faithless, and they refused to believe unless they saw the physical proof. And that's just a completely opposite of faith, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. And those who are faithless, those had little faith. And the disciples, they went to God and asked Him to help, but yet they still panicked. They had faith, but it was little. But then there was great faith. Didn't have to see what God was going to do to believe that He was going to do it. And they just simply trusted God's word. And where do we sit today? Are we today faithless? And do we refuse to trust Christ as Savior? Or do we refuse to believe what He says about our Christian life? Do we have little faith? Do we take it to God, but then still doubt and still worry, and we don't leave it with Him? Do we have great faith? Do we just simply trust God and live life in peace, knowing that God will take care of it? And we saw how important it is for us to have faith. We need faith in our Christian life. So let's go to God and let's say, Lord, would You increase my faith? The Bible says in Luke 17:5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And in Mark chapter 9, the Bible also says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And listen, we might have faith, but what we can do is say, God, help my unbelief. Help me to have more faith. Help my faith to grow. Help my faith to increase. Help me to trust You more. And God has never given us a reason to doubt Him. Let's ask Him to increase our faith so we can please Him. And if you're here today and you're lost, put your faith in Jesus Christ. He will save you today.